I'm going to give you 30 seconds of a song. I'm going to give you two images. And I need you to tell me what's special about them. This is Franz Schubert's Eighth Symphony. And you just hear 30 seconds of it, and then you go to the two images. So, Jimmy, if you please. Just when it's getting good, right? Okay, next slide, Jimmy. Does anybody know what that picture is? It's a painting of Saint Jerome in the Wilderness by Leonardo da Vinci. Take a look at it for a second. You've seen Renaissance paintings, and we talked about Renaissance work with David. Just take a look at it. In the lower right-hand corner, that's a lion. In the top right-hand corner is the outline of a church. Okay, Jimmy, that's all you get. Next slide. That is St. John the Divine. It is one of New York City's most beautiful cathedrals. Take a look at the top of it. And tell me what's different. Michael? Interesting. He said one of the tops is higher than the other. It's my son. Good job. Good job, son. Okay. Now go back one, Jimmy, if you can. Does anything strike you as odd about this painting? Anything? Well, actually, Jerome was an ascetic after he translated the Bible into Latin, so he does move into the wilderness to get really, really skinny. But take a look at the color. Interesting color. Right, Julie? Any thoughts? Based on what Michael said, what do you think? Yes. Very hard, very dark. Not a lot of color, right? Which is odd for Renaissance paintings, right? Kim, what do you know about Schubert's Eighth Symphony, by any chance? Do you remember anything?
It has surprises.
It does have surprises. Okay. All three are unfinished works.
Yes.
Schubert creates two movements in that symphony and then puts it away. Doesn't finish it. And now people through the years have tried to finish it. St. Jerome's color is like that. It's hard, like Julie said, because he never got to fully color. Da Vinci was famous for not completing most of his work. And to the church, Michael is absolutely right. St. John the Divine was going well, and they were about to put that last piece on the left, and they just said, well, we don't really have the money. We don't really think it'll do anything much, so we'll just leave it as is. So, Schubert's Eighth Symphony, St. Jerome in the Wilderness by Da Vinci, St. John the Divine by the New York Catholic Diocese are all unfinished works. They're not unusable, but they're unfinished. Where are you going with this, Richard? Here's where we're going. Just because something is usable doesn't mean it's complete. Now, the fourth slide was going to be a picture of us. Because in a lot of ways, that's us, right? We are usable. We are functional. But how many of us are complete? Now, we live in a world of wants and needs and desires, right? I want to live the rest of my days in happiness and joy, or I want to be healthy, or I want peace in my family, I want financial prosperity. We want and we want and we want. But someone, one wise person once said that wants without actions are simply wishes. And wishes, as you know, more often than not, do not come true. So the idea is, how do we put ourselves in position to be complete? St. John the Divine is filled probably right now with thousands of people, but it's incomplete. Schubert has an amazing movement, but it's incomplete. Jerome's work is beautiful, functional, yet incomplete. How do we get to a place where we are functional, but we are also complete, where the wants and the desires and the needs and the things that we know will get us to a better place are living and dwelling as a part of who we are, and we are not walking around half of ourselves or a quarter of ourselves or 90% of ourselves? When we talk about abundant life, that means 100%, living in the 100% of what God has for us. So how do we get there? By using Nehemiah as an example. Nehemiah has a want and a desire from God, just like you and I. But Nehemiah is really kind of different. See, Nehemiah, if you go one chapter over, it gives you the understanding of who Nehemiah is. Nehemiah is a child of exile. And he worked his way up to being a cupbearer for the biggest king in the land. Nehemiah does not live in Jerusalem, but he lives in Susa, the capital of Persia, which is about 700 miles away. So think about it, from Atlanta to Philadelphia. That's how far Nehemiah is. Nehemiah is in Philadelphia. But he hears a report of what's going on in his hometown. And he's convicted that he has to do something about it. So he has a want and he has a desire from God, and he needs to find a way to fix it. How do we get to completion? So what Nehemiah does is he understands what God puts in his heart is something that he has to execute. So the first thing Nehemiah does is he prioritizes, right? Nehemiah is rich. Nehemiah is comfortable. He has no need to be fixing anything. But he says to himself, I have to be able to do this, right? But the key to Nehemiah prioritizing what's necessary is taking a long, hard look at reality, right? So what Julie just read is Nehemiah going into Jerusalem, looking at the gates. The gates are bad. The walls are bad. And if you know anything about ancient times, the gates and the walls were how you kept enemies out. Nehemiah has to inspect every piece and honestly assess it for where it is. So you and I, when we are talking about our completion, getting the things and the desires that we want, are we willing to take a long, hard look at ourselves? Now that is the difficult part. Because it's difficult to think that we may be incomplete, that we may not have it all together. But Nehemiah prioritizes the work, and he's willing to look at the work fully and completely to know what he has to do. So you and I, when we talk about how we prioritize, it begins with a long, hard look at who we are, assessing the needs. And that's difficult. Let me give you an example. I am, at times, short-tempered. I have little patience for foolishness. And God makes me a minister, right? But the understanding is, if I want to live the life that God has called me to live, I've got to have a little bit more patience with people. I have to have a little bit more patience with difficult situations. But it's hard to say I'm impatient. And it's even harder to get up here and confess that I'm impatient, but I am. So how do I work towards completion? By saying to myself, who am I really? Not who do other people think I am. Not who am I on Sunday morning when everything is all wonderful and I have to pretend sometimes like everything is great. But when I'm alone and I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I see all my flaws and my faults, to get to completion begins with a proper assessment of the situation. And that can be difficult for us to do, but necessary if we want to get to where we're going. So prioritize is one. Strategize is two. Nehemiah does not move recklessly. He does not waste time frivolously. You and I have the habit of just jumping into things. Something has to be done. Okay, boom. I got the answer. Here we go. But how many times do we wait? How many times do we assess what's going on? How many times do we assess our resources and the things that we need to get the job done? How many of us can admit that we don't have the ability or the skills to get the job done right now? Again, what Nehemiah does is Nehemiah can take an honest assessment, but Nehemiah also knows when he doesn't have the ability to do it by himself. This is another hard challenge for me because I like to be able to do everything myself. Richard, do you need help? Nope. I got it. Richard, everything's on fire. I got it. Richard, everything's really on fire and all you have is a cup of water. Don't worry. This cup of water will take all these flames out. I got it. Because there's something prideful inside of me. And here I am admitting it to you again. Impatient, prideful. So I'm thinking about completion, and these are the barriers to completion. The understanding is I have to be able to assess my gifts, my strengths, my weaknesses, who I have around me, and be able to use all of those resources to do the hard work of building and the hard work of completion. Which means that when I'm wrong, I have to do the worst thing in the world. I have to go to my wife and tell her I was wrong. There is nothing worse than being wrong than having to admit to the person who told me I was wrong 3 days ago that I was in fact wrong. But if I want to be the person that God has called me to be, then I have to be able to take that step, that humbling step. God, I don't like that step, but I have to take that step necessary. Because the end goal is completion. So yes, I have to take an honest look at myself. Here are my strengths. Here are my weaknesses. Here's the gate, right? The gate is bad here. The walls are bad here, right? But I do have assets. Nehemiah has the privilege of being the king's cupbearer. So Nehemiah needs cedar. Nehemiah needs safe passage. He needs all of these wonderful things. And the king grants it to him. But also, he goes to Jerusalem and he sees a bunch of people who have power and authority and people who are willing to help. And though God has given him something to do himself, he knows that he can't do it alone. So that's how he prioritizes. That's how he strategizes. But if we're being honest with life, usually we stop at strategize, right? You and I have a million plans in our brains, don't we? I know how to get what I need, right, Miss Mabel? If I want a new house, right, I have to get my credit up, right? I have to save some money. The problem is, I like to spend my money, right? So I may want the new house, and I have plans for the new house, but when it comes to actually doing what it takes to get the new house, not so good. It's another one of my problems. How do we move from strategizing to actualizing? Right? I want my family to be stronger. Wants without actions are wishes. So that means we have to put these things into action. I want a stronger retirement package. I want to travel. We have wants and wants and wants. And we can research all day, but it takes one prophetic step to go from strategizing to actualizing. Everyone loves to talk, but not everyone loves to work. That's one of Eddie Murphy's most famous lines. The reality is Nehemiah takes the resources and he combines the resources with the work to be able to do something special. If you look at verse 18, Nehemiah finally tells everybody, okay, here's why I'm here. You've been wondering for 3 days. We've come here. We've looked at every little thing, and I haven't told you anything. Now I'm going to tell you. I'm here because Jerusalem is in ruins. The walls are messed up. We may be here, but the next batch of conquerors who wants to come is going to come and overtake us all. And though I'm away in comfort, I care about you. So here's the plan to do everything. We're going to do this, that, and the other. We're going to hit this gate, that wall. And what do the people say in verse 18? They say, okay. And that's it. All it took was one step forward. One willing step to go from planning, having a pie in the sky idea, to actually moving forward. For us, the things that we want, that we need, the things that we're hoping for ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, our community, our neighborhood, our world, all it takes to go from planning to doing is a faithful step. And Nehemiah makes that step. There's opposition. Sanballat and all those wonderful people that Julie named want to see him fail. He knows that the odds are against him. Some of the things we want, the odds may be against us. But do we have the faith to take one willing step towards what we want? One day, Annie and Riley are going to want jobs. And filling out an application is a step. Going on an interview is a step. Putting yourself in position while you're in school is a step. We want Michael to go to a unique middle school. It takes work. Deeper level than that, I want this church to grow. It doesn't have to be in number, but in power. What does it take from me to be able to do that? It takes me being available. It takes me committed. It takes me being forgiving. It takes me being gracious. These are the elements it takes to build something special. So, what's the source of the faithful step? Well, if you read Nehemiah before, or you heard Julie mention verse 12, or verse 18, or verse 20, you will realize that God is in the prioritizing. Nehemiah says, no one knows what God put in my heart to do. The things you want are things that God has put in your heart for you to fulfill, for you to achieve. The recognition that God put it there means that God is in the prioritizing. When Nehemiah finally reveals in verse 17 and 18 what the plan is, God will give us success. That means that God is in the strategizing. And if you read chapter 3, the beauty of the work, because once everyone says we're going to start rebuilding in verse 18, Nehemiah chapter 3 is one of the most beautiful chapters in the whole Bible because it talks about one family building. And then next to them, another family starts building. And next to them, another family starts building. Communal work happens because God is in the rebuilding. So God has to be in our prioritizing. Whatever we want in our hearts, do they line up with what God wants for us? God is in the strategizing. How do we get there? Instead of coming up with ideas on our own, after looking at the darkness that we have, God, how should we fix ourselves? Prayer, study, conversation with people, people who've been in similar positions. How do we get there together? And then the actualizing. When we start to take that faithful step forward, we can't leave God behind. I need you. Everywhere Nehemiah goes, if you read the entire chapter of Nehemiah, the entire book, you're going to find out that Nehemiah was one of the most faithful people in the Bible. Because every step he took, God was with him. So for us, how do we get to completion? How do we prevent ourselves from being those unfinished works that we saw? First is the admission that we don't want to be unfinished anymore. Yes, we're functional. Yes, we're usable. Yes, we can still be parents. Yes, we can still be workers. Yes, we can still be church family. But there's parts of us that need fixing because we want to experience the fullness of what God has for us. So how do we do that? By admitting it. Being able to look at our flaws and our faults, just like Nehemiah looks at the gates and says, this needs to be fixed. I could be a little bit more patient. I could be a little more loving. I could drink a little less. You know, thoughts like that. I'm not saying anybody in this room, not looking at anybody. Well, not even going it. Strategizing. Lord, how can I make my marriage stronger? Well, maybe you can start by submitting. Maybe you can start by not being so selfish, right? Because again, what we want and we're seeking is abundant life. The safety of those gates is the power to live abundantly. So now when I want a stronger marriage, when I want a stronger self, I want to be healthier, now it's to take that step. Put the Coca-Cola down. Stop watching Friends at 11 p.m. on Nick at Night. Go to bed. I'm not talking about you, Rose. If you feel convicted, that's the Lord, not me. St. John Divine is a building I passed so many times in New York, and all I thought about was how beautiful it is. And the facade is beautiful, but it's incomplete. If God is in the center of what we do and how we're living, if God is leading us on the journey to completion, then one day the work that's left in us will be done, and life will be experienced on a whole new level. So my prayer to you is to prioritize, to strategize, and then to actualize. And then everything that God put in your heart will be perfected. Just like Nehemiah, the gates. If you read Nehemiah 12, the pomp and circumstance of these finished gates is a jubilee unlike any other in Scripture. Because the people are safe. The people united to do amazing work. And they saw the beauty and the power of God through completion. We need that jubilee in our lives. I'm not even talking about the church. We'll get there. But in our individual lives, completion is possible. If only we take a faithful step forward. Let us pray. Lord, your servant James wrote that perseverance has to do good work so that we would be complete, lacking nothing. Lord, we need you in the work. Show us the areas that need to be fixed. Show us the areas that can be enhanced. Show us the areas that are already good but can go to another level. Lord, we want to live abundantly. And we want to see you in our movement, in our priorities, Lord. So, Lord, help us to see with our spiritual eyes and not our physical eyes. Help us to trust you to get out of that boat of safety and comfort, and to walk on water. Because every step on water is a step closer to you, Jesus. Lord, things are good for a lot of us, but they can be better. Help us to develop the faith that we need, the strength that we need, the courage that we need, the resiliency to be able to be and feel and experience life just as beautiful on the inside as we do on the outside. Thank you, God, for loving us. And Lord, we want to build something special in your name. So bless us and help us and be with us as we build and rebuild ourselves into who you want us to be and the people we truly want to become. Bless us in our journeys and our trials. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.